as you pray for different people, keep in your prayers, if you would, Bruce Schneider. Bruce would really like to have not have to have kidney dialysis, or if he has it, to have it in not such a long-term situation. And some of you have family who have had to deal with that, not easy at all. So thank the Lord for Bruce and his family and for God's help in rough times for him. Once upon a time, there was a 10-year-old little boy who liked to play Little League Baseball. His name was Jimmy, and he really enjoyed watching baseball also. He liked to watch the Pittsburgh Pirates and Andrew McCutchen in particular. And McCutchen is an all-star baseball player and is by far the best player the Pirates have had for a long time. I was going to say 30 years, but that might be living too much in the shadows of the past. But Jimmy studied Andrew McCutchen all he could. He started to memorize everything he could about Andrew McCutchen, where he was born, how many people were in his family, you know, what kind of baseball bat did he use, what kind of baseball glove, how he walked, how he ran, how he caught, how he threw. And Jimmy tried his best to swing the bat like Andrew McCutchen, tried his best to throw the ball like him, tried his best to catch the ball like him. But Jimmy's improvements were very small. And he was getting very disgusted with baseball, very disgusted with himself. He thought about quitting baseball altogether. But one night Jimmy had a dream. And he dreamt that Andrew McCutchen came to one of his baseball games. And a big miracle happened. Andrew McCutchen gave to Jimmy the All-Star's ability. His giftedness, his power, his presence. And in the dream, Jimmy played baseball in such a way that when he would hit the ball, people would say, he hits like Andrew McCutchen. And when he threw the ball, he throws like Andrew McCutchen. When he caught the ball, he catches like Andrew McCutchen. And they said, that's not Jimmy, that's Andrew McCutchen. It looks like it so much. It looks like him so much. Well, according to the Bible, for the person who has received Christ, that is not a dream. That is what happens between the Lord and His children. Christ comes to live His life in us, sharing with us His presence and His power, and we begin to live in ways we would have never lived like on our own, and do things that we would have never done on our own. So God's Word says it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, first off, to start to know that you're loved by God. Lloyd Ogilvie, an ex-Senate chaplain, said, if you hold back the truth that you're loved by God and you have the freedom to love others, you will be spreading spiritual death all around you. That's a scary thought. You know, you look at the news and people spreading death all over the place. When I don't know that God loves me and I am not loving others from that freedom, I have a tendency to spread spiritual death all around me. But instead, Christ gives us life with Himself. Paul starts off by saying, I have been crucified with Christ. Paul's saying his self-will is over, and now he's interested 100% in God's will. This is both a decision and a process that happened for the Apostle Paul. And Paul was patient with himself in the process. You know, he didn't have angel wings. He didn't have a halo toward the end of his walk with Christ. But the Lord changed him, as he is changing you and me. So Christ's power and presence living in the believer. It's not you who live by yourself anymore. It's Christ who lives in you. And to take that truth and say, thank you, Lord. The different letters that Paul wrote, he repeated that theme, sometimes saying, Christ is your life. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Those are from Colossians. Sometimes saying, God's Spirit lives in you. You're the house of God or the temple of the Holy Spirit. One God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working in your soul. And God wants us to know that and lean on Him more and more. So closeness with the Lord and changes in our character happen as a gift from God to us. Just like heaven and eternal life is a gift, also being changed by Christ is a gift. And I have to confess, as a Christian, you know, as a brother and sister in Christ, I'm always very excited and thankful about receiving the Lord and about getting to heaven. Okay? Heaven is a gift. 100% glad and confident about that because of Jesus' grace. Thank you for the song. And thankful to be born from above. Make that decision to know Christ. Say in sincerity, make yourself that I would belong to you, the blessed Son, as we were singing. But also between receiving Christ and going to heaven, there's a wonderful walk with God that's not easy. It's called sanctification. And God is changing us from the inside out. And God wants us to have that gift also as much as we would have receiving Him and getting to heaven itself. And I confess, I'm often not excited about the daily, you know, meet the Lord and let Him change me on a regular basis. But He's faithful to do that. And if I'm not excited about Him on Monday through Saturday, why do you think I'll be excited about Him in heaven? It doesn't make any sense. So to know the goodness of God, that Christ lives in you, and Christ lives in us by faith. So the life we now live, we live by trust in God and not in ourselves. And we don't attempt to get to heaven or even improve ourselves by doing good works. So sanctification is a gift, what we want to concentrate on, and some celebrations of that true gift. Here's a bit of review from last week, but more truth from the Bible. Okay, becoming Christ-like in character. Big project the Lord has going on for us. He's faithful to do it. He's determined, committed to that. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on your Christian brother and sister. The Lord hasn't given up on you, nor your backslidden Christian brother and sister. Okay, Christ in them. He's encouraging them to live by faith. This is the work of God, God's work. If somebody said, God is building something fantastic, you'd say, let me see it. But look into your soul. That's where God is working. It is God who works in you, Philippians 2, chapter 13. Both to will and to work according to His good pleasure. Before I received Christ, there was a lot of things I did not want to do. Did not want to go to church. Maybe some of you could identify with this. Did not want to pray, did not want to read the Bible, did not want to love anybody. I was in a life for me. Doesn't that sound exciting? Life for me. It's all about me. But when Christ came into my life, all of a sudden I had a new want to. I want to read the Bible. I want to pray. I want to go to church. I want to love others. It was an internal change that the Lord brought. It is God who works in you. So work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Sometimes we Christians say, I wonder why God doesn't do any great works nowadays. Well, every day, you know, He sustains 7 billion people. Reaches out to them through creation, through the proclaiming of His Word. Every day, He's building things into the Christian's life that are more powerful than anything else you'll see anywhere. The work of God. God is at work in you. So we take heart and we take courage for His work of sanctification, becoming like Christ in character. You say, all of us say we have a long way to go. God knows that. He still completes the work until Christ comes back. And then, of course, sanctification is the gift of holiness, or we talked last week about being devout. God shares that attribute with us, being separate from sin and moving toward Christ. Interesting, the Lord told the Galatians, who were really a bunch of rascals, always fighting, always, you know, getting drunk at communion, and their morality was all botched up. You think Christians' morality is botched up today? Yes, it is. So were the Corinthians. God said, I'm going to hammer it out to help you be right. And so he told them, you were washed, you were sanctified. God would share his holiness with them. Peter said, you're a holy nation. I like an old song by Michael W. Smith, who's an old singer at this point, you know. He wrote a song saying, I thank the Lord that I was born the first time. God accomplished that. And I thank him more that I was born again. I thank him more. There's more blessings in the second birth than the first. The second one is forever. And the goodness of God working in a person's life. So we can know that holiness that God is committed to. We're so glad that he's determined to accomplish it. Also, sanctification or walking with the Lord, Christ in us, it's a lifelong process. So we're in it for the long haul. I remember a dear person was sharing about things, and they said, I have taught Sunday school for a long, long time. You know, and they're glad to teach Sunday school, but it was about 2.5 years, and they were running out of gas, which is understandable. But the Lord building his character into us is a lifelong process. Again, to the Corinthians, we are being transformed into his likeness with an ever increasing glory, and God's good at that. Again, trust God. Lord, how do you want me to be like your son this week? If I'm not joyful, produce the joy in my life. Lord, remind me of the blessings of who you are. If I'm not patient, give me that love and waiting on behalf of others. We'll talk about the fruit of the Spirit in the future weeks. But we say, Lord, let your process continue in us. Have your own way, Lord. You are the potter, we are the clay. Fill with your Spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. And enjoying God who came to dwell in our soul. What a gift. And then a key one which we hit on last week a little bit, that sanctification or being having Christ in us, being set free from the power of sin. This is a big deal. Again, in my own life I have to say, I have minimized this power. I thought, I know God will get me to heaven, and I know I'm born from him. He said he'd come into my life. But in terms of being able to walk with him, I see sin too much. But God says, no, my power is greater than the sin in your life. That doesn't have to rule your life anymore. That's good news. What if the Lord says, I'm all about delivering you from selfishness and sinfulness and unlove? You'd say, oh, thank you, Lord. Because those things are like hell on earth to live like that. God said, I came to bring you life with me. And what if the truth that you could tell each other and tell your own soul, God is delivering the believer from the most deadly, terrible disease the world has ever known. And it's sin. It's sin. God is delivering the believer from that. You know, if you got the news that you have cancer, some of you had got that news recently, you would be, oh my, I want all the available help to get this in remission. We have something worse than cancer. Sin. God gives us all the available help of himself. And he says, you're not controlled by that sin anymore. I give you my Spirit to run your life. And again, that process that he works out in us, we're glad. He is setting us free from the power of sin. R.C. Sproul had a good focus. He has a good sense of the need of humanity. And he describes our old sin nature this way. This is why we need Christ in us. God could have saved us, stayed in heaven, and not been a part of our lives, you know, and said, oh, I'll see you in heaven, do the best you can. That's not the Christian life. R.C. Sproul described our sinful nature this way. See if you could identify with this. Our natural hearts are devoid of affection for God. As a Christian, you might have hours, moments, or days, or weeks when this is you. Devoid of affection for God. Why should I be excited about God? You know, He hasn't done anything for me lately. What an ungrateful attitude. By nature, the love of God is not in us. We are indifferent and even antagonistic to God Almighty. That's a part of our sin nature that will rule unless we say, Christ, you be number one. That daily we would follow after Christ in us. And I was listening to a fellow another day going through a terrible time, and he was really, really mad at God. Shelley will probably deal with this tonight. You know, furious that God was doing nothing while he went through this horrible situation. And I didn't want to say it because it wasn't timely yet, so I just prayed, Lord, help this man, this dear man who you love, to know he's not the first one in the world who has been furious with his pain or furious with you. He's not the first one in the world. In fact, he's surrounded by people daily that would be antagonistic to God or indifferent to him. Indifference brings basically a who cares attitude. But what can God do? He says, Christ in you. We live now by faith in the Son of God. Charles Spurgeon testimony, going to continue on this one that we started last week. Remember, he said, all the goodness he has within me is totally from the Lord. That's part of our testimony. When I sin, it's from me. Spurgeon said, when I do good things, it's from God. Have I been sanctified? I did not cleanse myself. For God's Spirit sanctifies me. So we're trusting God, just like we trust Him for heaven. Am I growing in knowledge? That's good. We should say yes, amen. We want to know God better. It is the great instructor who teaches me. In God I find all I want and need. But in myself I only find sin and misery. It's an accurate assessment of life. Joy in God. Humility in terms of knowing our needs. Somebody said, C.S. Lewis said, if you want to have humility in your life, you have to confess you're proud. If you feel like you have no pride in your life, you are very proud and in great need of humility. But to know that our rock is God alone and our salvation is God alone, Christ in us would work His work in us, change our character. Wonderful work of God that He accomplishes. In a way, it gives God more glory to work on us over time than an immediate change, you know. Oh, I came and I committed myself to God and I've been Mr. Obedient ever since. I believe that can happen. But when it happens, you know, God worked with me for 60 years. And He's still changing me every day to introduce Himself to me. And we say, that's powerful. God would be so faithful. And remember, Christ lives in you. Two things to always practice and then two stories. First, confess your sin and my sin to God and confess our powerlessness to change that. Okay, we're powerless over sin. Unless we say, Jesus, be in us. Powerless over sin. So we joyfully surrender to Christ and say, He's great, and our problem is can be dealt with. Then we ask Jesus to be Lord of our lives. Remember last week we said we can't have Jesus as Savior without Him being Lord because He's the same one. That's the same person. He could change us from the inside out. Two stories, both true. Once there was a believer living next to a man, he knew he was called to love him as a neighbor in some manner, even if it meant leaving the guy alone. But it was awful hard for this Christian to love his neighbor. And no matter what he did, he tried to leave him alone. The guy was antagonistic. He tried to, you know, connect with him, The guy was belligerent. So finally the Christian says, oh, I don't even want to love this guy. I don't want to be a witness to him. Lord, you be a witness to him somehow. You know, any other way, and last resort's through me. And please do that. So God quietly began to work in the Christian's own soul. And in the lost guy, as far as we know, never turned to Christ. But there was peace in the Christian's soul. He was doing what he knew God wanted him to do. Yielding to God. God was loving his neighbor through him. Giving him the ability and power to do that. God is like that. You know, he works with damaged goods to bless others. Another true story. A wife had put up with her husband for years. He was kind of not there emotionally and semi-abusive at other times. So she didn't want to be close to him, and she didn't want to forgive him, and she did not want to love him. She was in the marriage for obligation's sake. That was like, you know, it's a last resort sometimes. And she prayed to the Lord again. Lord, I don't want to love my husband, and I don't want to forgive my husband. Please love him anyway. Love him. Show him your love, Lord, and show him your forgiveness. And again, even do it through me, if necessary. She began to just take, you know, small steps of civility toward the guy who really needed kicked in the rear end. Small steps of civility. Small steps of forgiveness. And she said, God began to change him as God began to change her. God began to change him as God began to change her. And it doesn't always work out that way. Could have been like the neighbor thing. God might have changed her and he still might have been a total pagan. But God would have been shining through her life anyway. In victory or in defeat. And really, that's what he would do for us. So as you think of walking with Christ and God doing that great work of changing you and I from pagans with pagan values, and we still have the residual effects of that, to sons and daughters of God and followers of Jesus, you know, as God does that in us, might we trust him and say, Christ, you live in me and be yourself through me in these days of trouble, but in your great work of bringing holiness to your people. I do feel led to share this. I have found, by the way, people who trust Christ and his goodness in them for the long haul are more likely to make significant progress than believers who look for shortcuts, and even in theology say, you know, beware if somebody comes up to you and say, I have found the magic bullet for making you holy all the time. And it's kind of a little process they have you go through, and I would say go and meet that person a year or two down the line, and they're going to pretty much look like they did before. They're going to need the Lord, regardless of the shortcut that they have promoted. Okay. It's Christ in the believer every day and moment by moment. Might we ask God to keep working in us in this manner? Let's pray together. Father, we have seen little ones grow and they start off walking and they stumble. Then they get a little older, teenage years. Different source of trials, adult years, new growth, middle age years, different growth, senior years, painful growth, but still growth, very significant growth. And in our own sanctification, in Christ being our life, we see this pattern, dear Jesus, and you lead us all the way. Thank you for the truth of your word. God, who began a good work in us, will carry it on to completion. Thank you that you said you wanted to set us holy with yourself, body, soul, and spirit. You're faithful and you'll do this. So keep us alive in this good work, Father, trusting you, wanting a new want-to in our own soul. Deliver us from our own lethargy, and that's R.C. Sproul quote. To deliver us from being indifferent Christians, which is we've all been there, and it's a sickening thought. It's sickening to experience, and it's sickening to observe. But you give us joy forever with yourself. So be with each dear child of yours, Lord. And if someone's here who doesn't know you, might they say, "Oh, I need the Messiah in me." Certainly be glad to have Jesus work in the world, but they would start with their own soul. I need Jesus to be the Messiah in me and to be Lord of my life. Might you reassure that one? You've died for them on the cross and rose from the dead. Help us, dear Jesus. And thank you for being committed to make us followers of yours. In your name we pray. Amen. This is a really good song. Vicky's going to lead the praises on. Vicky, you do it the way you want in there. Half of us know this song fantastically, and the other half, this will be the first time ever. But the words are they're life changers, and the song will be too.